Supervisor.
This is the Music Supercast.
It's in my interest, in ours perhaps, for me to smoke a joint and calm down.
Hosted by Supergroup's Mary Prankster and lead music supervisor David Heyman. Recorded out of their Toronto and LA headquarters. Produced by Sorrel Sound and all vetted by me, Amani Sabri. Check out the Supercast blog at wearethesupergroup.com/MSC and don't forget to share.
I think I got my swagger back.
But I think what's been like really liberating for me is the idea that like you can change and you can evolve as an artist. And like, you know, what you do right now is not what you have to be doing in 5 years.
Hello, friends. This is the Music Supercast. Appreciate you coming back, joining me. A little bit of a journey of music, filmmakers, advertising folks, people that I'm interested in creatively and I think are going to bring something to the table. Today on the podcast, we have Liz Lockery. Liz Lockery is a new voice in Toronto. She is working with the man, Adrian X, who is a producer with Drake and The Weeknd and many other amazing people who have come out of Canada and proven that they are powerhouses. And I believe that Liz is the next Canadian powerhouse to kind of make it in the U.S. So watch out for her. Liz Lockery. .com, LIZLOKRE.com. And she's got a new album about to come out. We're going to tease some of the tracks here and, you know, go about our thing and talk about the music scene, talk about what motivates her, talk about the Rise Up movement, talk about making music in the new world, DIY in 2020. We really get into the ins and outs of her relationship with management, Adrian, her de facto manager, her guru, having trust and kind of understanding what each other's needs are, empathy, and really a collective experience that is going to be fruitful for both of them moving forward. You know, people want to know more about me, I guess. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. People are hearing a little bit of a ramble and they get it, the meat and the potatoes of the guests. But what is David Heyman up to? Well, you know, we're busy. You know, we got States coming February 5th. You know, we had Andy Schaaf at the Age Club on the heels of Ben Dickey and Sun Little. And you know that we are busy because Utopia Falls is coming out February 14th, and I'm putting a soundtrack together. Big shouts to Nikhil, See the Ram, and Boy Wonder, and Akel Julian and Umberly Gonzalez, two names that you might not know quite yet, but trust me, after this thing launches, it's going to be at the tip of your tongue, especially for young people who will be inspired by this. So get ready to check this thing out. Check it out with your young, your young kids, not too young, but I think in that pocket of like 8 to 14 is great. I know I have a daughter, Ruby, and she's turning 10 very soon. Big love, Ruby, February 10, baby. I can't believe double digits. It's crazy. Anyway, she is really excited and she's already sort of picked her favorite character on the show. Can't wait to see how it unfolds. Can't wait to see what the fan base is all about. I this is what I do. I'm really excited about the projects I work on. I sit and I Google and I obsess. I've been doing artwork for the show. Actually, my album art is coming out soon with that, but and never stop promoting. I don't know what I'm doing, but you know, with my life and what I do, I live outside of the city. I like to chill. I'm taking some time off of work for a little bit of home care, going through something at home. So chilling and set up the office down here so I can help my wife and my daughter and make everything happen as we rough out the storm of some health things that are going to be super positive. This is a big year of healing, but I will be working up north, and that is going to be actually not too hard for me. Maybe 5 years ago, I would not have been able to do that mentally, physically, the whole thing. And my team is so fantastic. So if I can just take a moment and say, Kaya Pino, Cody Partridge, Scotty Taylor, Adele Ho, Chad, Christina, everybody at the office that makes the supergroup what it is, and the extended family that have support for what we do, for synchronization and the love of film and television. Big love to all of you, because it's times like this where we need family, we need friends, and we need that in between, those professional folks that love each other because we do it. It being the quest to kind of make something great, which is for me what it's all about. We make it possible. And it takes a village. I know it's a stupid saying, but I've been actually living by the mantra, you know, farther alone, but further together. You know, I've always been the guy that moves real fast, but now it's my time to slow it down and trust in the team, because we're going to go far. We got big things coming up. I'm excited. I'm excited for basketball weekends with my daughter and taking care of things at home while the snow falls on my little house. And I kind of just take in new tunes as they come. I really love it. What's happening in 2020 right now. You know, things are looking good creatively. So excited to dive in, excited for a little bit of a break. And with that, enjoy the chilled out sounds of Liz Loughry on the Music Supercast. Thank you for listening, always. I truly appreciate you guys joining in.
Great.
So we've got Liz Loughry and Adrian X.
What's up, brother?
What's up, my friend? Thank you for making this happen.
We're here.
We've got a future legend. And a legend here.
Which one's which?
Your future legend.
I'm kidding.
It's going to be a big year.
Thank you.
Adrian, you've been a legend for a while, man.
Yeah. You know?
A lot of things happening in Toronto, and you've been part of it for quite a while.
Yeah, this is totally true.
So we tried to connect last year for, I don't know, it was like 2 months, and finally got together.
Yeah.
And of course, you're a cool guy, so you're not like, check out my music, check out what I do. You're like, check out Liz.
Yep.
So how did you guys meet? Let's start right from the beginning, because the fucking rocket's about to take off.
Woo!
So helmets on. Let's start right from the beginning. How did you guys connect?
Yeah. So my vocal coach, Brandon Brophy, amazing human who I've been working with for years and years. Adrian had initially connected with Brandon in like the weekend days. Had been working with Abel, and Abel had been working with my vocal coach, and that's when Adrian and him connected. And then, yeah, my coach Brandon was like, you got to meet this guy. He knows what he's doing. And it was just a time where I needed to kind of elevate what I was doing and just be surrounded by the right individuals to do that.
So you were building block stage.
Yeah.
And you needed someone to put it together.
Totally. And to just kind of guide the ship a little bit. Like, I had some not so great experiences in the industry prior, and it kind of all shifted once I started working with Adrian. So
what made you want to trust him this go around?
I don't know if I do yet.
I'm kidding.
No, it's night and day. Like, honestly, night and day. From like the first day we started working together, like the first time I was at the studio, it was just like a very organic approach. And the best part about it was it like allowed me to really, really take a step back and approach my artistry the way I wanted to, you know, without people saying, here's what you should be doing. It was like the first time someone was like, so what do you want to do?
Cool. What are some of those red flags that come up in a first meeting? Like, when you guys first connected, what was like the speed date, red flag, green flag moments? Other than that he was asking you questions, which is fantastic.
But totally. It's like, and you know, it's like I've seen many artists come and go, and we just get right into the frankness of it, and you can tell what someone's trying to do with their music right away or in a few conversations. You know, you don't just like sit down and say, let's write a hit. That's kind of weird, you know. It's just like you want to just talk about life. But Liz came over and she picked up my acoustic guitar and started playing like she was at Wembley. I was like, cool, sweet.
So you did connect right away on music.
Yeah.
It was music first.
It's impressive.
Sure.
Impressive when, you know, just pick up a guitar and start playing, you know, like that's what music is all about. So you possess the essence of music.
And that's been a lifelong thing. I know you play keys, you play guitar. You started off playing music. I know you have a bit of a pedigree there, if you can go into that.
Yeah, I've always been training. Started playing piano when I was 5, and that turned into other instruments. But like, of course, the singing and the songwriting is where I really found my home. And now those instruments, I'm really grateful to have that foundation, because now I just consider them like a tool, mostly for the songwriting, and to be able to like sit down and do that yourself. Like, I can't imagine not having that freedom. So,
and to strip it back.
Totally.
I know all this production's like the longest road, but man, I personally connect so much to just the live stuff.
Sometimes I think I wish that could be all it was. Mm-hmm. There's going to be like a double version of the record whenever it comes out, where it's like all acoustic versions.
That's beautiful. Maybe the shift, you know, we can get into it. Like, the 2020 shift isn't so much a sound or a thing. It's a tone, and it's a process. And maybe we get more like off the floor authenticity.
Yeah. I think that's what people need. That's what people are looking for as well. It's like, that's what connects. You can put so much, I think, into like building this grandiose moment, but it's like, just what's the song? Where's the message?
Right.
And what's the voice?
So that first set of tunes was produced with Adrian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of it is and has been. Adrian is executive producer on the project. So it all kind of goes through the Vibey filter, which is cool. Yeah,
you know, you just got to get it organized. But, you know, there's definitely a few ninjas who drop a little science. But, you know, it all lives on Liz's hard drive, which lives in my studio. So
right on.
It's good to be able to control the movement. You know what I mean? Because we've all been stuck waiting on files and sessions and all the rest of it. So that took a few years to get all of the music together in a place where you can just like control what you're pushing forward.
Yeah.
To have ownership of that, I think, is like the coolest thing.
You need another eye. You need two eyes, you know?
Yeah. The truth is in my eyes. You couldn't help me before I help myself. And though I've been drowning in the sun.
You got The Weeknd, Drake, and those cats. But have you worked with many female artists before? Is that...
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I've worked with more female artists than male artists. When I actually, like, because I've been making a list.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not good at the history of anything and making lists, but...
Short-term memory.
Yeah. I should write it down. And I've been looking at this list, and yeah, I'm very blessed to be able to say that I've worked with so many amazing female performers and artists and like amazing singers have sung in my basement studio, and it's pretty cool.
And it's all happening in the city here with the vibes. You know, if you can go back to Bye-Bye, you actually shot a video for that one, and tell me a bit about that, because to me that's a starting point.
Yeah.
A fresh starting point. You're talking about some negative experiences you had. That's like 10,000 hours shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's Malcolm Gladwell career building, emotional character building, who you are, making the mistakes, meeting the wrong people, drag it around, you know, your past. You've changed your name. You put a Bye-Bye. You make this thing. Tell me about that.
It's funny when you say it that way, because I think like that's a classic example of I'm just sort of writing from a place that's like true to me. But, you know, without even necessarily realizing the deep connection that exists there, like to my story from day one, you know, to me, it's just like, it's about a certain situation. And you're totally right. I think around that time and that song.
You just wrote the script. That's great.
That's the like you're saying, the tipping point, right?
So when you look at just like the chronological way things are presented on Spotify, you see the beginning, and the beginning is the real beginning. There is nothing before that.
Right.
You know, it's a fresh start.
And that, of course, like is intentional. The way that we did that and the way that we're rolling all of this stuff out now as well. It's like we get to build on that story, but for sure Bye-Bye is a starting point. Even the way that video came together and the experience of doing that, like, you know, assisting with the directing and the production and the styling and like just being...
You did it all that.
Yes. I was very instrumental in that process. Of course, had an incredible team as well to make it possible.
But you've worked with like Director X, no?
On the recent video. Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, no doubt.
So you're like, fuck that shit. I'm not a filmmaker.
No. I've been there.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, kind of crazy how it kind of evolved from the beginning to what the most recent stuff has been. And we keep it building.
What was it like working with X?
It was a very cool process. They're like, they've been family for a while, X and Taj. Always so supportive and just
big
down to big up the, yeah, big up to Taj.
Big up to the lion.
Honestly, just so grateful for them to have like presented the opportunity to do it, because they didn't have to choose me, but they did.
Well, it's a beautiful piece.
Thank
it's
you.
Out there now.
Thank you. Yeah. Shout out Cat Weber too, the director of that video.
Cat Weber.
Cat Weber. So that's part of, what is it, the Pop Rock crew?
Yeah. Yeah. It all went through Pop Rock.
R.O.K. Check them out.
You know.
It's a
that's
small
the coolest
world.
Thing is when you can keep it in the fam. Like with these projects that I'm putting out now, I think more than ever, it's like we have such a collective of dope creative individuals from this city coming together to make it happen. That's like the biggest and best possible way to do it.
You're an artist of the new decade.
Yeah.
You know, you teased it out last year, but now we're in 2020. It's a new conversation. It's a new time. So let's see where this family grows. And I'm really excited to kind of see that. Do you think that you have a Toronto sound?
That's a really good question.
Because you said it before in interviews. That,
yeah.
That it's part of this, like, you know, city hug thing we got going on, this like creative collaborative hug.
Yeah. No,
but
does
that culminate into an international thing? Because all these cats are so successful internationally.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's definitely got the elements of the Toronto sound that, you know, people know and love. I think what makes it the Toronto sound more than anything, though, is that it's like an international vibe. That like there are sounds that play off of like, you know, international instruments from around the world. And if we're talking about like the diversity that exists in Toronto, I think it reflects that. It reflects like my cultural heritage from both sides.
What are the sides?
That's a very, I'm half Irish, half Trinidadian. So it's a mashup of things. I get like,
and your dad was like a rock and roll record producer or a booker.
Yeah, so he had a venue.
And I'm saying rock and roll because it sounds cool, but was it rock
well,
and roll?
Well, I guess that in Dublin in the 70s and 80s, that's what was happening. Yeah, so it's like bar bands and
I don't know, like them and Van Morrison, and like there's some good shit coming out Dublin.
Yeah, he booked them. I'm kidding. I wish he had those kind of rock and roll stories, but
you get to come to Canada and retain your heritage, whether you're
totally.
Irish or Trinidadian or Jamaican or, you know, European, like my heritage, it just all becomes like, what's a good word for it? It's not melting pot. I feel like that has so much baggage.
It's, I mean, the word diversity gets thrown around a lot. It's kind of a downward spiral though as well, because like diversity and inclusion don't always exist. And I think like, it's important to be proud of that culture and bring it to the forefront of like your art and your conversations. And
for sure.
You know, we have, I think, as Canadians, we have a tendency to sometimes just, like, amalgamate to, like, you know, the kind, polite, this is just how we do things. But I think we should, like, yeah, wear our identities on our sleeves a little more culturally,
fuck yeah.
too.
Well, I think, you know, part of what I think makes our art great, Canadian art, is that constantly looking to, like, the big brother to the north. And we want to prove, we want to, like, here we are. And so I don't know how that comes out in music or sports or whatever, but it does come out. You get excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it in artists that you've worked with, Adrian. Mm-hmm. You know, I see the magic. And I keep thinking to myself it's going to stop, but it doesn't in this city. It just goes. Like, it keeps going and going.
Perfect analogy is that the cup is just always full. And it's so full that it's just running over now. Like
it's
you
true.
Can't and like and yeah, you're like it doesn't stop because there's so much of it. It's like oil, it's like struck gold or something, you know what I mean? Like it's just like spouting brilliance, which is cool because it's never been like that before.
Is that a production environment? Have we turned into that because the venues are dying here? You know, as you're saying that, you see like venues dying. I know you've done like So Far Sounds and putting yourself out there in different ways. Is that possible in the city to make a living?
Whew. How honest can we be?
We can be so fucking honest on this show. It's how honest you want to be.
That's so good. That's fair.
Take the gloves off, Liz.
Well,
no.
I mean, you want to take that one?
I mean, I rant about this stuff all the time. It's just, you know, it's you have to travel as a musician.
You have to.
You know, you definitely have to. And anyone can find me online and we'll debate it all day. But I have a very long list of very successful Canadian musicians and artists, and you know, they didn't get to their level of achievement by staying in Toronto. You can live here, you can go away, move, come back, live here, do whatever you're gonna do, but if you are only to sit in the city, wake up every day in the city of Toronto, I just don't see it.
It's tough.
It is very tough.
But look outside, you know, pop the bubble.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Like you have to.
I mean, all of my friends travel for music all the time. So let's just say that much. You know what I mean? and I'll put myself right in there with all of them. And it's totally cool. But with what you guys were saying before, it's like, it's so easy to be a global artist now that like, it doesn't actually matter where you live. But I'm just saying like, you know, nobody is really like the master shepherd in their own land. You know, you have to go away. The job is to get out there.
Right.
How about that?
But on that idea, like, I think like with Canada, it's kind of like there's a bit of a feeling of like the outsiders looking in on everything, like even on like what's successful, what's popping. It's like,
which is great.
Yeah. And that's, instead of seeing that as a downside, it actually is a total advantage.
I think if you are a teenage boy or girl living or whatever, you know, living in the middle of US, all you want to be is different and an outsider, right? So why not connect with something that's different and crazy and Canadian and awesome, you know?
Yeah.
That's why if you get fans of like far out stuff in Canada, like the Holy Fucks and the broken social scenes, you know? But you also get people who connect with artists who I think, like the Jesse Reyes or Daniel Caesar specifically, The Weeknd, those are even more so Jesse and Daniel because of the tonality of their songs. They're going to be forever artists for some people on mixtapes, wedding songs, you know, just like songs that people met on dates and will be their songs, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know, it's like those are evergreen artists. Those are Canadian artists. Mm-hmm. That's the road you're walking right now. And it's beautiful to see. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful balance of intimacy and also... Hey, you've done the So Far things. You've done Massey Hall, kind of these... How do you maintain your conciseness, your smallness, your...
There's a lot that goes on in my brain when it comes to this process. And it's like the hardest thing is to just narrow that down and stick to one plan and one song or, you know, one vision or one idea. But I think what's been like really liberating for me is the idea that like you can change and you can evolve as an artist and like... You know, what you do right now is not what you have to be doing in 5 years. And I think just to know that like each project can kind of have its own feel. I don't know, in a way that's like given me a guideline to like keep it consistent, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. You know? There is a consistency. I think there's some songs that you can sort of cry to on your body of work.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also like dance songs or like groovy tunes, but they sort of share the same world because they live alone. There's a singularity to them.
I'm happy you're saying that because sometimes I'm absolutely. Am I the same person from song to song? Like,
well, that's what makes it feel street. It doesn't feel plastic. Your stuff doesn't feel plastic at all. I see listed Etta James. And like Etta James is like the queen of the one mic.
I mean, that's the voice, right?
Yeah. But the warmth of the instrument. I mean, I literally bought a bass just to do I'd Rather Go Blind.
Wow.
You know, that's it. Just to get that warmth, right? But I think you get that. And you get that sort of hug of music and how it can kind of save you in a weird way.
Well, that is one of the songs on the EP that just dropped. It's called Save Me.
Wow, so, I didn't know I'd mean to do that.
There you go.
That's great.
Would you save me from myself? Save me from myself. Don't leave me to my only vices. My only vices.
I'm going to put my supervision cap on.
Okay.
All right. That's a fucking sexy, like mad sexy, that song. That, I mean, I don't know what it means to you, but nobody can do what you do and then save me from myself. What's the best kind of sex scene? Angsty, dangerous, maybe we shouldn't be connecting.
So is it a 50 Shades moment?
It is.
Is it a 50 Shades moment?
I was about to
moment.
Answer that like I've seen Make the movie. I don't know.
No idea.
Who do we call for that?
Sounds like it.
Call Abel.
It's big advertisement.
I love
That's
that.
What it is.
I love
no,
that.
But I think it is like, you know, when you work in like series television, which I do a lot, it never ends, right? Or hopefully you keep going and going, although I like limited series. But the goal is to keep making shows. And obviously you want the character to not find their goal or else the show's over.
Yeah.
You know, you want to kind of keep this openness. And I think when you have that save me from yourself kind of line, it's perfect when someone's making love because... There's a danger behind it.
That's what we're all
it.
Looking for sometimes, you know?
It's like, yeah, but also our pessimistic minds think, uh-oh, it's going to break down.
Right.
The other two jams, part of this trilogy,
EP, yeah.
The other down-tempo song is Can't Stay Down.
Mm-hmm.
Much less sexual to me, more angsty and emotional. Where does that song come from?
Can't Stay Down is kind of just like a lament. It's definitely sung as if I'm singing to somebody else, but for sure it's for me. It's like, there's actually just no time to be down. There's no time. Naturally, we end up there sometimes, but it's just this whole thing that like the world needs your perspective. So it's no good for you to stay in that place where you can't serve yourself or serve others.
You gotta pick yourself up off the floor and be sure that you can stay down anymore. You can stay down anymore.
Snap out of it.
Cool. Is this something like that you read to yourself before it was a song? Or parts of it, were they any part of your like personal mantra?
I don't think so. I think maybe I was just like tired of feeling a certain way and I needed to create something that would like get me out of that place. And so that's what that is.
It's all a metamorphosis.
I definitely put all of that into the music for sure. Like even when I don't think something is as personal as it is, I look back on it and I'm like, oh damn. That's like,
well, that fully takes us reflective to the other track.
Yeah.
The track Earth or Earth Interlude.
Yeah.
It's fucking gorgeous.
Thank you.
It starts off with spoken word. Uh-huh. I'm grounded when I'm confident in my skin, feeling at home in the body that I'm in. That's real acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Earth being the element in focus that is fully related to body. And that to me is like where it all starts. It's like, if you don't feel at home in your body and that self-confidence isn't there, like, what can you do from there? That to me is like the biggest piece of the puzzle.
So and it's still a human song.
It's human, you're but not actually, to Earth here. Actually, though, it kind of it goes both ways.
Okay.
Because it's written from the perspective of like the Earth crying out for help.
Got it.
Because environmentally, you know, it's an important conversation.
Totally.
And I'm not going to shy away from that. I think it's important to include that in the music. But at the same time, I think women are suppressed around this world. And I think the Earth embodies a feminine energy as well as a masculine, but
for sure.
Referring to the Earth as she, but it could also be, you know, just a woman who doesn't feel at home in her skin.
Well,
or doesn't feel like they have a voice, you know.
And now with the decade changing, you have the line, we got a chance to turn it all around.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think this is like a turning point in women's history. We're in a next level revolution mm-hmm. that happened. So now we're in the great kind of future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hope and yeah. I think, and I really hope because I have a daughter.
Yeah.
But also the Earth. I do think that we have a challenge and we have to step up to that challenge.
Well, we have no choice.
We don't.
Yeah, we have no choice. And I think we're in a time now where like these songs aren't even like protest songs. Like we're just all so aware of how screwed we are and,
yeah, well,
and how much needs to change.
Well, I wonder if by rather than turning it into that thing,
yeah,
maybe artists like you will be humanizing the Earth
mm-hmm.
and then maybe people can get it because they see, well, like a cut in my arm is a cut through the land.
Yes,
you know?
That is the biggest key, the connection, that there is no separation between one and the other or between I and the other. It's like that is, I think, the biggest disconnect, and it's a facade. It's like we're harming ourselves, we're harming our home. It's
absolutely
all interconnected.
I think it's, you know, it's no coincidence that the largest organism on Earth is a mushroom, you know.
Wow.
Is all this, you know, mushroom that's spread out through all the land and under the soil, and it's the same thing that to me opens up my third eye. So
right?
It's mm-hmm. like there's an enlightenment connection. Maybe the whole entire world needs to take mushrooms and just
yeah.
figure their shit out.
And that's the biggest thing, I think, with these EPs that are coming out this year. I also agree everyone should take mushrooms. So let's circle back on that. But the elements, like talking about earth,
right.
water, and fire, but humanizing that, like relating it to like what it means to be earth, what it means to be water, what it means to embody fire.
Right,
like we're grounded, we're fluid, we're ignited. Especially, I'm taking the angle of exploring it through a woman's gaze. So like what it means to embody that in my own life. Like you said, is that like butterfly moment, you know, like what it means to embody that now as like a 25-year-old woman. I'm like, There's no turning back, right? So I need to explore like what that means to me.
It's the secret to life, always learning, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And once if you stop sort learning. Of come at it like an open-hearted young person and yeah. a young artist especially, the kind of soul that's why I love talking to young artists, mm-hmm. you know, is because I share that. And I love that is, you know, still happen. When I drive and I'm in traffic, mm-hmm. I see like the normal people of the world.
It's interesting,
know.
Right?
Yeah, man. It's so interesting good to know that people like us, you are doing yeah. it, you know?
It's like just important to be surrounded by people who can support that mission so that, you know, you don't burn out and you can, you know, feel supported and uplifted, which is why I'm so grateful for people like Adrian sure. and even for you, like providing a platform to talk about it.
God bless. I mean, we've got you coming up at Jack Music, mm-hmm. which is in its third or second incarnation. It was great last year. We had Ali and we had Ralph. And we had Calvin on, a DJ who's, he's handicapped and talking mm-hmm. about his struggles with mental health. This year we have Desire Yourself and we've got Once a Tree coming up.
So cool. So
it's going to be great because I know that if you even just share the stories within the songs, you're already opening up in a way that most people don't. Mm-hmm. If you do decide to take the leap and truly open it up on some of these stories that, you know, probably aren't even for this podcast, but you know, for a room of intimate 1,000 people, it might be right.
Just 1,000.
Hey, it is just 1,000.
Man,
you know?
No. And I've dubbed, this year and this season, like a time of full transparency and openness and vulnerability, like whatever that means, because you don't know who you're helping. Like yeah. the story is the most important thing. So,
audience, this is not like horseshit. You know,
no.
Liz is part of the Rise Up movement. This yep. is a transition. This is part of the conversation. This is mm-hmm. real, you mm-hmm. know. Tell us what that is. Yeah. What's the Rise Up
movement? For sure. So the Rise Up movement began with a song, like one of the very first songs that we ever put out called Rise Up. And I was actually trying to think of like why I started this thing, because people are like, why are you going into schools and doing these talks on empowerment? And like, I think if you have a heart for that and the ability to do it, like you have to. Mm-hmm. But then I look back on it and I'm like, I was severely bullied in school. Like school sucked for me yeah. for a lot of years. And the only thing that brought me to a place of like owning my power and who I was music, and like finding something that I loved. And then I held on to that identity as soon as I felt like I found it. And I think that's like what saved me. And so I'm like,
I think you're not alone there.
Yeah. Like, what is it for you? And the thing is, like, even these kids at such a young, like you have a 10-year-old daughter, like mm-hmm. she knows what she wants to do probably deep down. And she's cultivating these gifts and these talents. And it's like just making young people aware that they can take that gift and use it to make an impact in some way. Like, big, small.
That's to me the storytelling.
That's it.
You know, and that's like almost the most pretentious thing you can say, because we do say it often in this podcast, and we have guests that are storytellers. That's the bottom line. Whether you're an advertising exec or you're an exec for a film, a director directly, a writer directly writing, you know, or an artist putting, you know, songs onto wax to put the message out.
Yeah.
We're all part of that mission.
And that's what I'm interested in. I don't know if everybody is, to be honest.
The people that come through this office.
But that's what I'm saying. And
that's what we try and cultivate.
That's beautiful. And that it's important to keep putting that on and to keep, you know, encouraging others to join the bandwagon, you know, because
it's a lowrider. It's easy to jump on.
Get in it. That's train's amazing. Leaving.
Right on. Well, we're going to go back to the fun stuff, okay? You know, this is going to be a ride. This trio of songs, this is the next level. I'm really excited. I can't wait to see how each one kind of rolls out visually. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have all the show notes. We're going to have links so you can follow Liz and get all the tunes. But we always go through the standards on this. I know you love Etta James. We touched on that. But what were the important artists to you at age 13?
Ooh. Oh, man. Do you know, I was listening to a lot of Nelly Furtado when I was 13.
Okay.
I think she was like, that was when she was kind of at the height.
Another Canadian that left and did so well.
I mean, yeah, she's inspiring in so many ways to me. Like, sonically, shout out Brian West. Brian West, I love you, buddy. Yeah, we're going to see him soon.
We should get him on this podcast, actually. Oh, yeah.
Let's FaceTime him right now.
Yes, to be honest.
He'd start laughing so hard.
You know what? I will. I'll get him on. He's probably got a lot of good stories.
Yeah. Absolutely, he does.
All right.
Yeah, good people. That's family, too.
Yeah, man.
Who else? It's always been Alicia Keys, for sure. Alicia's always been a big one. And, you know, my sister was listening to, like, a lot of old school
R&B.
Older sister, yeah.
Wow. See, so, there it is.
So we had the, like, had the Brandies of the world. We had Destiny's Child. Like, I had that.
She kept you posted with what was cool, like, what was fly. And then you can explore on your own.
Yeah, exactly.
So where'd you go at 21?
So, yeah, that was post having been introduced to Adrian. I remember, like, part of my mentorship was, like, he's like, here's a hard drive.
Oh, sweet.
Of, like,
everything.
90s hip hop.
From Tribe Called Quest.
Meant to be listened in order?
No, but it was just like, yeah, shuffle all this music. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think, you know, I fell in love with Stevie Wonder at, like, 20 years old.
Fuck.
I fell in, like, in love with Sade at 22, you know, these were like the old school foundational artists that, like, I really didn't get into until those years. But it was like,
there's no
the most formative, the most formative. And, like, honestly, I'm looking at Bob Marley's face here. Like, his face is plastered on all of the studio walls. And that has, like, played a huge role in the approach.
You talk about diversity, taking a like purely Jamaican sound and westernizing it a ton, and even the, like, mental health bullshit he went through on westernizing, and how, like, you know, Perkins and Clapton and those guys taking his songs, that was a mental fuck, but it also made him an international superstar.
Fearlessness of the message, I think, is also, like, why he's so important to me.
Right on. And now, like, now
who,
like,
is it?
Who are you listening to now? Is there an album you're stoked on? If you could just tell, like, if you said to me, like, what do I need to listen to?
Yeah, fair. Honestly, it's kind of bringing back some of the stuff that I was scratching on, but, like, Amel LaRue, I'm listening to almost, like, weekly. I don't know if you've heard of Amel LaRue.
No, I'll be
one
honest.
One of the best vocalists.
Okay.
I think out there.
Some brand new heavies, some vintage brand new heavies.
Oh, fuck,
and stuff.
Man. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dope.
But her solo stuff's crazy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's major. And honestly, I'm listening to a lot of instrumental music, totally honest, because I think there's, like, so much
soundtrack stuff or
some soundtrack vibe. There's, like, this, I think he's a German producer. Don't quote me on that. Galcher Lustwerk.
Okay.
I don't even know who that
is. Wow, you said that, like, fierce eyes.
Because, like, what kind of name is that? It's so fire.
I love it.
But, yeah, just, like, super kind of vibey stuff that I can get in my own space to and just groove to. Honestly, there's been a little bit of Beyonce, that Lion King soundtrack. Mm-hmm. If we're being totally honest.
Let's be totally honest. Man, my favorite movie of, like, last decade was Coco. You ever see Coco? The animated film? Fuck, it makes me cry. I'm like,
I actually haven't seen it yet. We have to watch
Gotta watch Coco.
Definitely have
watch
to see
Coco,
that
people. Shouts to Disney. Shouts.
Yeah, right?
Shouts to Walt.
Yeah, let's get some of them syncs happening.
But so in that same vein, what are you dying to tell people to watch? Is there something you binged out on recently?
The movie?
Yeah. Movie or TV show?
I just saw the coolest French film.
Okay.
I think it's from 69. But Hiroshima Mon Amour. Do you know that movie?
I think I was probably supposed to see it in film school and skipped it.
It was one of those. Just, like, visually stunning, like, the love story element.
Beautiful.
I'm such a sucker for all of that. And I don't really like binge watch stuff. I don't know. I ain't got time for that.
No. I'm all about
I'm very
that.
Into, like, documentaries, and I'm pretty boring.
I love documentaries, but documentaries have taken on this new breath that they're, like, visceral and, like, they feel feature-esque. They feel important. They feel big. Some of the greatest things we worked on this year were docs. So,
Explained. Great show.
It is a great show. How good. It's mind-blowing, right?
Yeah. The one on diamonds recently. I'm like,
crazy.
I don't want one.
Well, that's a big trend that's changing. That's, again, going back to, like, keeping things real. Like, there's no need for fucking diamonds.
It's, come on. Yeah, 100%.
You know, this 100%. Is the new world we're living. We need to just shake our heads, you know, and, like, I saw the one on the cosmetics. Guys, please don't use any fucking cosmetics from China or like budget,
yeah,
low budget
from the crap. Way they're made to the way yeah. they're tested.
So scary. Yeah.
So scary. I think
that's like an approach that I'm really interested in taking even like musically.
Yeah.
Cause I think it's like such a big picture conversation. Like what is the merch? What is the visuals? Like what is the messaging and like making sure that is rooted in sustainability and like keeping that at the forefront of the conversation. Like I know it's a word that's getting thrown out there a lot and who knows if things really even are sustainable. It's becoming like an advertising point now.
We need artists. It has to be artists. So, if it's not artists, who is it?
Yeah.
It has to be writers and singers. And those are the people that have to, you know, they have to usher change. They have mm-hmm. to be the Pied Pipers. Who else would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's obviously not scientists. The scientific facts have been out there for years.
For years.
It can be done. They've mm-hmm. gone without plastic bags in Taiwan now. Like that just happened since the new year. And I've seen the pictures of people like slinging all these bags and all these different things. Mm. It's just a different culture. Maybe like, you know, it'll foster some kind of fashion bag industry and mm-hmm. whatnot. Like, let's get into new shit.
Yeah.
You know, let's get into the new world and see how we can make change. I don't know how I personally can do it. Mm-hmm. So feel free to write in and tell me how I can fucking lower my carbon footprint.
Yeah.
There's so many ways.
Is there any way? If you can point out in this office, we should have the lights off. Be a lights off podcast.
They're already funny. Dim. They're already dim.
It's feeling good in here.
I think yeah, you're
there's,
doing
not,
your
there's not very many lights.
Well, thanks for joining me, guys. Thank you, Liz. Focus. Adrian.
Thanks for having us, brother.
Bless.
Thank you.
I won't put out the door, let me make it clear. I only stay cause you can't sleep without me here. If I go, will I forget? If I stay, will I regret? Maybe I use you.
Music Supercast is a production of Sorrel Studios and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.